Lorez is in the studio with me now. And again, before I speak with her, why don't we listen to some of her music? She is a vocalist, as you are about to hear, and from a recent album, which is called How Will I Remember You, we're going to hear a real nice version of Make Someone Happy.
1, 2, 3, 4. If you would only make someone happy, I try to make that one someone happy. Make just one heart to heart you sing to. One smile that cheers you, one face that lights as it nears you, one man. You are everything to. Cause fame, if you win it, seems to come and go in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? I think that love is the answer. Just that one man to love is the answer. If and when you found him, commence, begin to build your world around him. You can make someone happy. Try to make that one someone happy. You would find it's easy. You can be happy too.
Lorez Alexandria from her album How Will I Remember You. Before we start talking, let me tell you a little bit about her. She was born and raised in Chicago. She started singing gospel in the church. Her recording career began in 1957. Since 1961, she's lived in Los Angeles. This is her first East Coast appearance in, I think, 10 years, Lorez?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Her most recent album is the one that we just heard an excerpt of called How Will I Remember You. It's on a label called Discovery Records. She's recorded a number of other records, including Lorez Sings Prez, The Great Lorez Alexandria on Impulse Records, and Didn't We, an album on Pizzazz. Again, Lorez is going to be performing along with Teddy Edwards tomorrow night at the International House, and we're going to be giving away a couple of sets of tickets to that performance in a few minutes. Welcome to Fresh Air, Lorez.
Thank you so much, Terry.
I'd like to, again, like start backwards a little bit and talk a little bit about the influence of gospel singing, of singing in the church on your jazz singing. I don't know which you'd say had the greater influence on you, what you heard later of jazz or, you know, your early singing in the church.
I absolutely cannot really call myself a gospel singer. I was never really a gospel singer. I sang in the church, but I sang with an a cappella group. I did any number of different kinds of things. A cappella work is the most exacting work. It develops the ear greatly. You have no instrument to cover up any mistakes. And I was fortunate enough to be under the leadership of a very, very fantastic man, Reverend Luce Allen, who taught a cappella work totally sans music. You never looked at a lyric. You learned the words and the harmonic parts without the benefit of any music, which means it stuck and mm-hmm. it stayed there. And he taught me how to direct and how to teach this type of music, which is what I'd like to do someday, really. I love I love that type of choral work. I think it's the most beautiful sound. It's like a wall of harmony if it's taught properly. The transition was one that didn't come totally as a surprise to me. I knew that I wanted to do something other than that with my singing. So I began to sing weekends with a local band in Chicago, just feeling my way along, just really trying to find out which direction I wanted to go in. Into. I hadn't really thought of jazz as an entity for myself when I first started singing. I just knew I wanted to sing. And when I began to realize that this was the direction in which I was heading, because I wasn't singing orthodox enough to be a pop singer. It never appealed to me to sing boom, 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 ta-da, ding, ding, ding. I never thought that way. The cadence wasn't there. I don't think that, well, some singers think that way, orderly in their mind, and, you know, they can do it exactly the same way every time. But I don't speak that way. I don't think that way. My thoughts are kind of jump out at you. So I began to practice on a tape recorder, one of the first Wilcox gigs, great big heavy thing. That was given to me as a gift, you know, and I began to listen to myself. And I was so bad, it was frightening. And I said to myself, I'll never make it. I will never be able to emerge as a real identity in this business, because at that time, what I was hearing, and the very best in the business, Billie Holiday and Ella Fitzgerald, Sarah Vaughan, Carmen McRae, these people were so polished and so great. I said, well, I don't ever want to be mediocre doing anything. I will either have to get much better at this or I will have to give it up. So I proceeded to really diligently try to emerge with a sound of my own from all these great people, because as much as I admired them, I didn't want to sound like any of them, because you can't get any place saying, you know that girl that sounds like Sarah Vaughan, you know that girl. Your name is never mentioned. It's that person who sounds like.
So how do you do that? You know, like, how did you go about finding what was your style?
Well, it actually is not such a totally difficult thing to do if you realize that there's no way in the world that you can't, that you can do this without sounding a little bit like somebody else. You must, but you cannot take it like rote. You can't take it note for note. You take the best from all of them. Like, you feel that swing from Ella. You feel that technique from Sass, phrasing from Carmen McRae and Billie Holiday. It's a conglomerate thing. It's a fusion type thing from all of these people, and out of it you emerge yourself, because you bring to it yourself, your feeling. Your interpretation of a lyric, which has to be your own. I don't care how much you're influenced by these people, and you have to be influenced by them, because they're the pathfinders, and they laid out the route for you. And so this is how it happened, the transitional period. Of course, you learn things over the years that apply just to you as an individual.
Go ahead.
That's all right, Terry.
How do you go about choosing the songs that you're going to sing? What attracts you to a song, both musically and in terms of its lyrics?
Well, actually, I'm a lyric person. Lyrics are very important to me. And it's a story that you're trying to tell. And if the story doesn't make sense, then I can't tell it. It's just that simple. I'm very ticky about lyrics. And I will live with a lyric. If it's melodic, then that's no problem, because being a singer who interprets the music rather than singing right notes, I drive Teddy crazy with that, because Teddy is really a technician, and sometimes I don't want to hit the note exactly the way he's written it. It'll be right within the framework of the chord structure, but Teddy will say, no, Larissa, that is not, well, I know that, Teddy, but I hear it here, you know. I never really, from just the beginnings that I told you about, I listened to more instrumentalists than I ever did vocalists. I always felt that freedom that an instrumentalist has, that a lot of singers don't venture out to do that. Ella, of course, doesn't. But I hear more with a musician's ear than with, wouldn't you say so, Teddy? Really?
Well, all the smart singers listen to good horn players.
That's right. That's right. They do. They really do. And I think that I'm no exception to that. And So I was really more influenced by a lot of the people that were playing, you know, than were singing after the initial.
Is that where in your mind one of the things that separates like the jazz singer from the pop singer? That the pop singer will like sing the sheet music,
right,
and the jazz singer will like really interpret it.
Right.
Song.
I think they hear it further than a pop singer. They hear the overall thing more than a pop singer. A pop singer is more concerned, I think, with how the voice is overshadowing the rest of it. But I think it's more of a marriage type thing with musicians and jazz singers.
Well, let's hear another track from the album, How Will I Remember You? This is actually, we're going to hear How Will I Remember You. Do you want to say a few words about this song?
Yes. Albert Marks, who is the producer of my albums now on Discovery Records, is a man who's been in the business for a good many years. As a matter of fact, he was the first one to record Sarah Vaughan back in 1942. And he knew Carl Sigman. He knows Carl Sigman. And he knew Walter Gross, who wrote Tenderly. Walter Gross, before his death, made the statement that he thought How Will I Remember You was a better piece of material than Tenderly. And that Mr. Marks paid me the compliment of saying that he wished that Mr. Gross was alive to see hear my treatment of the piece of material.
Well, that's something we'll have the pleasure of hearing right now.
Thank you.
Perez Alexandria's recording of How Will I Remember You from an album on Discovery Records by the same name. Let me remind you that this is Fresh Air and that you're listening to WUHY-FM in Philadelphia, and that Lorez Alexandria is in the studio with me now, and that tomorrow night she and Teddy Edwards will be performing at the International House in Philadelphia, which is at 3701 Chestnut Street. We're going to be giving away now a couple of sets of tickets to that concert. There's two sets, one at 8 and one at 11, so we're going to give away a pair of tickets for each set. And what we'll do is the first two people who call will get a set of tickets, for one for the 8 and one for the 11. So let me give you a phone number. Our phone number is Evergreen 76660. You can call now. The first two people who call that phone number who express an interest in the tickets will receive it, and we'll take care of that. By the way, again, that performance is tomorrow night. Well, I'm in the studio with Lorez Alexandria, and we're going to have a few more minutes to talk before you have to get going.
Wonderful.
Okay. We were talking a little before about jazz singing and pop singing. Mm. I'm wondering if you've recorded with strings and what your feelings are about recording with strings. There was a period particularly in the, I guess, late 50s, early 60s when it was almost obligatory, I think, for singers to record with strings, and almost every jazz singer had at least one album with strings.
Well, I was with Argo Records for a while, which was the jazz label of Chess Records, and they did record some things with strings. Single Sad Songs for Me had some strings on it. I wasn't particularly pleased with it. They were in the studio with me. I'd rather record without the strings being in the studio and having them later, because I have to have a certain amount of freedom. I think that a lot of times in writing, you're boxed in so that you don't phrase with quite as much freedom, or you don't have the type of feeling. That's only me. A lot of other people are able to do it very well, and it doesn't bother them. I can only speak about how it affects me to be boxed in like that. I don't like to be boxed in. I like to have that type of freewheeling thing. And then if they want to lay the track on, sometimes it works out very well. I haven't thus far done with this label here. I have a whole lot of freedom as to choice of how I want things done. I'm sure that in the very near future I will be doing, because I intend to do a Gershwin songbook, and who's one of my favorite composers. And Mr. Marx has expressed his willingness to finance that type of venture. So we're feeling our way along. We're new together, and he has the utmost confidence in my choice of material and what I want to do. So I'm very happy with the association up to now.